In an empire ruled by fear, the only hope is a blind samurai named Satoichi. From Takeshi Kitano, the acclaimed master of Asian cinema, comes the story that ignited a nation and a man who challenged a kingdom. Justice has a new name, Satoichi.
Check 1, 2. The gift that keeps on giving. Yes, Obsidian Ali, man. This is the Fat Mac, the Almighty, Triple XL, Big Mike, and Full of Fizz Ed with my co-host, man, Satoichi. He in Satoichi mode today, man. Nigga, Fucius, Magneto, Tony Maceo. Man, the swords have been drawn once again. We are once again at an impasse of iron sharpens iron. And once again, in the spirit of good, hopefully friendly debate, we'll be going at it once again, man. This whole situation, man, where we talking about black business, you know, who's more correct in their assessments about why black folks are so stingy when it comes to basically showing their patronage to other black business owners or business runners, man. So I'm not going to go ahead and talk too much on this, man. I'm going to go ahead and just hand it over to my boy Tony, and he has some things to basically refute and rebut pertaining to Obsidian Ali's latest video, which was aimed towards him. What's going on, Tony? What you got to say, man?
Oh, man. I'm going to start from the door, man.
Okay.
The first thing I'm going to do, man, is I'm going to give the correct assessment of what happened since he had he just totally misstated. And he flat out lied about about most of the stuff he said concerning me facing him.
Okay.
So I wanted to give a correct assessment. First of all, let's get started from the beginning. He said that when I pointed out in the article that we were on, you were on YouTube as early as 2007, but you were on Liberated Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
He doesn't know anything about Liberated Syndicate.
No.
His thing is YouTube.
Yes, exactly.
And his thing was, well, he was the first, he was a trailblazer because he was the first one to do a podcast directed towards black male issues. And I'm like, no, you're about 10 years too late.
Right.
But better late than never, because Mac City was here as early as 2007. And I didn't get in the mix until 2009 or 10.
Right.
So I still beat you by 10 years. But let's be clear here. Mac City is your site, not mine. Mm-hmm. I'm just the co-host.
Exactly.
Okay, so what happened was, and I want to give everybody a reference, a frame of reference, so they can understand what happened. I've recounted this. This time I want to be especially detailed.
All right.
What happened was, we did a podcast with, you know, when they was doing the beef in 2007, and the podcast we did shots fired between him and Alan Roger Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, he heard that podcast because Alan heard it, okay? Mm-hmm. So then what he did, he didn't have any problem with us, or what he thought was us critiquing Alan Roger Curry's mode one. He had a problem when I said that he wasn't attractive enough to be commanding a bitch to do anything.
All right.
Basically, without going in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So he got in his feelings about that and then jumped on our timeline. We didn't go to his timeline. He jumped on our timeline, and him and I had, this was the summer of 2017. This is what he's talking about. So we went back and forth for about 2 hours, and he asked to come on the show at that time. No, he asked me to come on the show. He didn't ask you. He asked me.
Right.
And I told him, I said, no, you come here. And the reason I told him I wasn't going on his show, and I will tell the people the reason I wasn't going on his show, it wasn't because I was afraid of him. It was because Obsidian does a lot of fuckboy shit. And here's what I mean. When he had Angry Man on there with that white nationalist,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Jared Taylor or somebody to that effect, I was listening to that debate, and I was listening how Angry Man wasn't coming through. It sounded like sometimes he was stopped in mid-sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, according to Angry Man, and I have reason to think it's true, he was muting Angry Man's microphone. Mm. And then he later admitted that he muted Angry Man's microphone. So when Angry Man was in the middle of making a point or making a counterpoint to what the white man was saying, he shut off his mic.
Right.
And whenever he invited someone on, even if it was a female, if he invited a woman on there, oh, he really got grimy. Oh, he talked over them, you know, consistently. He cut their mics consistently. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what he did. So I said, if I'm going to gamble, baby, I'm gambling to win. I don't roll loaded dice.
All right.
That's not what I do. So what I told him was, I said, you can come here. And he said, okay, extend me. I said, well, I don't run the show. I said, Big Mike does. I'm just the co-host. You can ask him, and I gave him your email address.
Yeah.
So what happened was, Alan Roger Curry did Max City. Mm-hmm. And after Alan Roger Curry did Max City, I wake up and I got a little notification tone that lets me know when I have, you know, email messages. And so I wake up at 6 o'clock the next morning. I got an email from his punk ass. He had emailed me 3:30 that morning. Mm-hmm. He didn't even wait to the sunrise. He had emailed me at 3:30 that morning.
All right.
Because Alan Roger Curry, he had heard Alan Roger Curry on the show asking to go on the show. So then that's when I told him, you know, I put him in touch with you and told him to go ahead. And at that time, you asked me, you said, did I mind beating him? I said, no. But I said, realistically, it's easy to beat him. Me grappling with him is like grappling with a child. But whatever, I said, I take it. Hmm. And then you said, well, I waited for the call. Call never came.
Right.
I waited for the chance to detach his motherfucking ass. I waited for that. So what happened was I didn't get a call. You called me the next day and you told me specifically that you kept me out of that just to keep the conversation civil.
Right.
And you even told him that on the air in the podcast.
Right.
So let's get this straight. I would never run from you. You are nobody for me to run from. Because in a debate, I know you can't debate. So, nigga, I will detach you.
Oh.
I will detach your head from your fucking body.
Jesus Christ.
You are no intellectual heavyweight. Ooh. Do you understand me, boy? 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 I would never run from you. Not in your wildest dreams. Not on my worst day would I run. If I'm going to run from somebody, I'm going to run from somebody that I would be intimidated by. Nobody intimidates me. And as I told you in your goddamn timeline, all you have to do is find neutral ground, and I will meet you there. And I will clap the shit out of you wherever you call me to be. So now, if you want to lay down a challenge on neutral ground, I will meet you there. Mm. I will meet you there with bells on.
Oh, my God, man.
So I'm not afraid of you. Mm. And I have never been. Why would I be afraid of? I mean, seriously. Seriously, why would I be afraid of a motherfucker that picks on women?
Oh my God.
Why would I be afraid of a nigga that beat up on bitches? Why would I be afraid of somebody like that? Okay? So, step into the arena. I'm in this bitch. So all you got to do is find a neutral place, and we'll see who's afraid to step into the arena. But letting you get on your platform and overtalk me and mute my mic, nah, that's not going to happen. I would never let that happen.
Shit. I don't know. Did, I don't know what O'Shea got to say about it. Can y'all get on O'Shea's platform? I mean,
O'Shea wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't think he would have a problem with it.
Okay.
I don't think he would.
Because, you know, the last,
and if that was the case, I would do that.
Yeah, the last interaction they had was, you know, pretty much for the most part, respectful. And I know you grilling Obsidian right now, but I do have to give Obsidian props on the fact that he is not scared to basically run into the fray either. You know what I mean? I've seen him run into hangouts where cats is just waiting and salivating to jump in his ass, man. And he seems to have no fear of going heads up with three or four niggas at a time. So it would seem to be a really good a sparring session between you two, because cats don't know you like I know you. You know what I mean? I mean, you pretty much keep to yourself, and you pretty much don't really get into the fracas or the fray, and you don't really get into beef shit too much. So cats don't really know your steez, man. They don't really know who you are and what you're about. And let me tell y'all cats something, man. Tony ain't scared of shit, man. For the most part, I have kept Tony out of a lot of shit. You know what I mean? I'm over here on YouTube, you know, to help build, not destroy. And I feel that if I take the reins off, man, I take the chains off Fuchsia's, there might be some problems in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? I don't want us to have no problems, man. I want us to build with the brothers. But I don't know if that's possible. We got a lot of personality conflicts, man. I don't know what's going on with cats.
Here's the situation. You say he wasn't afraid. And that for the most part, he did go. But here's the thing.
Right.
He went into a place where somebody would let him talk.
Okay.
In many cases, they let him talk over other people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So he went into a place where somebody would show him the modicum of respect and civility and allow him to make his point without muting him.
Mm-hmm.
He went into a place where he was allowed to speak his mind without people talking over him.
Mm.
If I had that platform, I would go into... I'm not afraid of going on hostile ground.
Right.
I just don't go... I just don't walk in the setups.
Okay.
And that's what he wanted. That was his thing. So with respect to him going on the hostile ground, even on hostile ground, they afforded him the respect that he wouldn't give to anyone else on his platform.
Mm.
I'm thinking of one in particular. It was a female on there, and back when he was cool with Black Gnostic Speaks. Mm. This was last year too.
Right.
Black Gnostic Speaks had to tell him to chill out and let the woman talk.
Right.
So if you're going to go somewhere and debate somebody, don't talk over people. One, and I wouldn't let you mute my microphone when I was speaking. I'm just not going to do that. I don't walk in. I'm not that hard pressed to prove to you I'm that objective that I'm going to let you control when I talk and when I don't talk and mute the mic so people can't hear what I'm saying. You will never do to me what you did to Angry Man. That's just not going to happen.
Well,
so let me move on.
Okay.
This thing with O'Shea Duke Jackson. O'Shea Duke Jackson had something that popped up because I'm a subscriber to O'Shea's channel. And O'Shea had something on there about do black people support black businesses? And he had the Obsidian interview.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, let me go back and listen to what he's saying. I had to get a frame of reference. And when I went back to his podcast was about him and some nigga named Ricky, somebody in his comment section. And Ricky had gotten on to him about always trying to shame people about being Patreons.
Right.
And he was like, why are you trying to make people pay for this shit and YouTube is free? And he's arguing that it's not free. Somebody pays for it. Well, let me clarify that. If you have internet, YouTube is free. We all know it's not free for the people who are in charge and running YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that it's not free in terms of as a product, but in terms of a video sharing service, when you buy the internet in your home or if you have it on your phone or you pay a cell phone, you get the service for free.
Okay.
It's a video sharing service. We all know that the motherfucking app is not free. It wasn't constructed free. We all know that.
Yeah.
So when he said that this guy was pretty much saying, he was like, you're on here trying to make people pay for something that's free. And so he started throwing in this guy's face all this shit about how it's not free. And he started calling this guy a freeloader.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's forever talking about this shit about the free market. Now, in reality, anybody that's an economist will tell you that the free market is not free, and not in the sense that it costs. The free market is not easy for people to enter because the free market works on everybody having access to something. Now, since the internet has come out, it has democratized the market. It has made people easier. It has made the ability to enter into business easier through YouTube. But the market was never free. The market, any economic student, and you want me to cite sources. You always want me to cite sources. Even though you don't, I'm going to give you one. Micro Macro Economics for Dummies. That's a real book.
Okay.
Okay. Since you like for me to cite sources, go pick up. Oh, I'm sorry, because you don't like to spend money either. So take your ass to the library and get it for free. I wish I had an Echo Box, but I don't.
Shit. Hey, I'll take care of that. Just say free and I'll make it echo.
Take your punk ass to the library and buy it for free and rent it. Excuse me. Check it out for free. Free.
You crazy kids.
Okay.
All right.
So since you talking about that, what happened was that he was calling this guy a freeloader, and he was talking about all this stuff. And then here's what he said. He said that I'm feeling some kind of way that I don't have 300 Patreons because of niggas like you, Ricky. A small group of brothers have to pay the freight for niggas like you. And then he went into all this stuff about how black people don't support businesses. Now, you and I have always critiqued. Who has critiqued niggas more than us?
Ooh, bruh. Like I said, we've been doing it going on a span of 10 years critiquing niggas, man.
who does it more than us? So you have a point with respect to black people not supporting businesses. I never denied that fact.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I had a problem with. You can't critique the game unless you're in the game.
Okay.
And that was my point, and that was O'Shea's point. And my point came up with respect to this was when O'Shea said, well, you're talking about you don't have 300, because that's what he said in his podcast. That's all he talks about in his podcast,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that he don't have 300 Patreons because brothers are cheap and brothers don't support black businesses. Well, if you don't enter the market, if you don't step into the arena, if you don't step into the arena and do the things that's required for you to be subsidized, if you don't step into the market and allow yourself to be patronized, how the fuck you want people to come to you and you coming to them on an outdated modem? You coming to them on a video podcast? You coming to them on a video podcast and you doing audio shit? And what O'Shea said was, you need to do more live stream. I'm not doing live stream because I'm a trailblazer. Trailblazer.
Right.
Who else do you know? And here's what he said. Who else is doing this kind of material but me? Mac City.
Mm-hmm.
And so his issue was, well, he's the only one doing it on YouTube.
Right.
That was his issue. But what you're doing is you're recording something in MP3 format and uploading it on YouTube. Mac City was doing a podcast back in 2007 on Liberated Syndicate.
Mm-hmm. On multiple podcast formats.
What was the downloads?
Shit, man. You know, I see monthly, you know, let me see it. Well, each show will get like 1,000 like downloads, but monthly, man, I probably get about 12,000-13,000, you know, downloads and shit.
And that was before you made it to YouTube.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was before you. I'm talking to his ass.
Yeah.
That was before you made it to YouTube, sucker. That was before you got here. So you ain't doing nothing slick.
Yeah, he don't understand, you know, it's just like what he said. He said, I never even heard of y'all, man. Like who the fuck are y'all, basically? And I'm like, well, that's really no big deal, man, because look, if I never would have came to YouTube and started doing my thing, I never would have heard of Obsidian. You know, I guess he seems to have this thing in his head where if he don't know you from YouTube, there's no way you could have been successful any way, shape, or form or fashion. But there's plenty of people who are basically on podcast formats who are not on YouTube that are crushing Obsidian as far as numbers are concerned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
Who the fuck is he?
Say what?
Who the fuck is he to be talking about?
I can't hear you, dog.
Can you hear me?
Okay, that's better.
I said, who the fuck is he to be talking about he don't know anybody?
He said, I never heard of you kids, man. Who are y'all? I'm like, no, you never heard of us, man, because this is not our format. We was actually doing radio, like what you talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our format was strictly audio. You know what I mean? And, you know, we getting 12, 13,000, like, downloads a month. That still ain't really big-time numbers and shit, but I'm able to pay my bills on that shit, man. And I don't have to ask that nigga for a donation. So, I mean, I'm successful in this shit. And I'll probably get into this more so a little later on, right? Because he's got a lot of things that he don't necessarily understand about my business model. And I'm about to show him how I come up gangbusters on my business model. And maybe he could appreciate that because I definitely appreciate his business model. He's done a lot of things correct. He's seen things in the future, and he has actually adapted.
Let's move on. Let's move on. And then he says, you know, because my thing was about, you made, in your podcast, you made it about you.
Mm-hmm.
So when O'Shea addressed what you said in your podcast, you said that this guy was coming in your channel, listening to you, or you said that people were actually coming to your channel. This is what he said on O'Shea's Hangout.
Mm-hmm.
And asking him when he was going to do another podcast. His thing is have you paid me?
Right.
Have you paid me? And his thing is, well, you haven't fully made yourself accessible to the market. Because when O'Shea does the hangouts, he's always being supported. Why? Because it's a format that he's accessible in.
Mm-hmm.
So you make yourself inaccessible in the market. And then when the fact is brought up that you made yourself inaccessible in the market, you're going to fall back on some non-existent truth talking about you a trailblazer.
Mm.
When motherfuckers on Liberated Syndicate was getting four times your listeners, four times the listeners that you're getting now on the web, you're getting that in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So what trail did you blaze? But you give him a pass because of his business model. I don't listen to him enough. I just thought his business model was Patreon. He just kept saying he didn't take any AdSense money. Okay, well, you don't take any AdSense money.
Stop. Hold on. We're getting real bad audio, man. I don't know what you done did, but you cutting in and out, and I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. His thing was that, you know, he was a trailblazer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, trailblazer doing what? When Max City is getting, or we're getting, you know, four times the motherfuckers that's listening to you in 1 month, and we're not on the internet. We're not on YouTube.
Right.
So I was confused about what he was talking about, but they say he saw AdSense coming and all those things. Okay, that's fine. Wonderful. But I just thought his business model was Patreon.
Right.
It's okay. Scratch one up for him there. So then he gets onto this shit about how everybody at the Negro Madison had a beef with him. Everybody got a beef with him. That sound like some of the bitches we fuck with.
Mm.
Everybody is always somebody else. Never him. When the truth is, this nigga done created beefs with everybody on the Madison beef. People did it because I'm smart, I'm determined, I'm smart, I'm driven, and I have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that you did that can't be done by anyone else. So there's no reason for anybody else to be envious.
Hold on. Good Lord, man, what's going on with this audio? Shit. Are you talking in the room that you usually talk in?
Yeah.
Damn, boy, cause you underwater like a motherfucker for some reason. Okay, let's try it again. Shit.
Start. What about now? You hear me?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Hello?
Is that?
Nah, man, something ain't right, man. Shit. This the same phone you been using?
Same phone, same everything.
Oh my God. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call you back. Let me just call you back. Something, this is horrible. Hold on.
I was little, my father was famous. He was the greatest samurai in the empire, and he was the shogun's decapitator. He cut off the heads of 131 lords for the shogun. It was a bad time for the empire. The shogun just stayed inside his castle, and he never came out. People said his brain was infected by devils, and that he was rotting with evil. The shogun said the people were not loyal. He said he had a lot of enemies, but he killed more people than that. It was a bad time. Everybody living in fear. But still, we were happy. My father would come home to Mother, and when he'd see her, he'd forget about the killings. He wasn't scared of the shogun, but the shogun was scared of him.
Husband.
Maybe that was the problem.
Azami.
I had a bad dream.
Don't be afraid. Bad dreams are only dreams. What a time you chose to be born, Daigoro.
At night, Mother would sing for us. Our father would go into his temple and pray for peace. He'd pray for things to get better. Then, one night, the shogun sent his ninja spies to our house. They were supposed to kill my father, but they didn't. That was the night everything changed forever.
Azami! Witchers! Azami. Azami, your dream has come true.
Daigoro, you must protect us.
They will pay. With rivers of blood.
That was when my father left his samurai life and became a demon. He became an assassin who walks the road of vengeance.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. I can hear you now. Was you talking?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you real good now.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's beautiful. That's much better. All right, well, go ahead and start it on off where you left off.
He was saying he was a trailblazer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, how could you be a trailblazer when one, there were people here before you. Two, they were getting more numbers than you were.
Mm-hmm.
And three, you know, our content, and he says his content is different from ours. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Our content was more diverse.
Right.
Although we are known for talking about Trigger, and our commentary, our podcasts were always more diverse than his.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting four times the amount that he was getting on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
For his monthly podcast.
Right.
Okay? And so then he jumped into this thing about everybody on the Negro Manosphere had beasts with him or had some personal problem. And truth is, these were problems and beasts that he created.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like people, everybody just turned on him and came at him. This was shit he started with other people.
Mm-hmm.
everybody from that shit he pulled with Alan Roger Curry to Angry Man to O'Shea. Everybody on the Negro Management was a beef he started.
Right.
So what in essence we have here is one of these kids, you've seen them in school, what they do is they put ink in your seat, fuck your clothes up, throw spitballs on the back of your neck, and then when you're waiting for recess, because you know they know they're going to get their ass beat, when it's time to go out for recess, they hang around the teacher.
Okay.
That's the type of nigga you're dealing with. That's the type of nigga you're dealing with. He does that kind of shit. He starts beefs with people. And then when they ride back on his ass, then he wants to be intellectual, and then he wants to debate and talk about ad hominem attacks. Hmm. When it's time to get his ass rolled on. So people didn't start beefs with him just because he was smart, because he was driven and he had a plan. People started beefs with you because you was fucking with them. That's why they came at you. That's why they came at you. You provoke a confrontation with somebody, then when it's time to get your ass whooped, now you want to play the victim? Nigga, please.
Well, look, let me ask you this, man, because Obsidian says that he don't know why you feel the way that you feel about him because he's never done anything to you. So, I mean, here's your chance right here to say, you know, what's the kernel of discontentment that you have with this cat, man? Because like I said, Obsidian says, you know, I don't know what this guy's problem is with me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, do you really have a problem with this guy?
Obsidian, I don't really have a personal problem with him because really I don't know him, but is he annoying as fuck? Yeah, he's annoying. He's kind of annoying in his podcast, but other than that, I don't have a problem with him per se. Mm-hmm. I think he's actually very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's full of shit with a lot of shit he says, but I think he's entertaining. He stumbles over a few good points, but other than that, he's again, like I said before, the motherfucker's like porn. He's a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
So it's no hard feelings in per se I have with him. Again, I think he's entertaining. I think, like a lot of shit he says, he's full of shit. But other than that, that's it. So there's nothing in particular. There's no personal problem or issue.
Well, check this out. This is what I want to talk about. You know, when we talk about YouTube numbers, you know, how certain individuals seem to rise, you know, as far as getting subscriptions and whatnot. Now, it would be real easy for me and you to actually do that, man, because the formula seems to be on YouTube, start a lot of beefs, a lot of drama, and trash black women to no end. And that will basically ensure that your ass gets subscriptions and get views.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But me and you have not done that. We have stuck to our guns, and we have maintained a balance. You know what I mean? We'll talk about the tricking. We'll talk about these fucked up ass dusty niggas. We'll fuck around and talk about, you know, the ratchet ass bitches. We'll talk about the politics. We'll talk about the religion. You know what I mean? So make no mistake about it. We know the formula. If we really want to get down, if we really want to get those numbers and those views, we will start needless beefs and we will just trash black bitches all day. I bet you $1 to a buck of this shit, man, we'll start getting money then. But that ain't what we own, man. You know, we got some integrity about our shit.
Is that formula familiar with you? Does that sound familiar to you? That's exactly what the fuck he does. He starts meaningless beefs with people because if he doesn't start meaningless beefs, he doesn't have content.
Right.
That's his whole thing. Mm-hmm. He's fucking with black women, criticizing black, which we did years ago, and starting meaningless beefs with people. And he said in there, he said that nobody knows or nobody knew who we were. And nobody cares. We never did this to make. We were never doing this to make money.
Right.
We were not per se. When we started out on this, we weren't in the market per se to try to compete or make money.
No, we still not. We still not trying to make money off the podcast per se. Really. At least I'm not. I'll explain that in my business model later on. You know what I mean? But go ahead.
Okay. But I wanted to acknowledge that. So it's as though we were, you know, putting out material. We weren't doing that. We were doing shit. We were doing this shit. I was doing this shit because it was fun.
Yeah, for the love
of it. I didn't really see no money in it because I didn't pay that much attention to it.
Right.
So this idea about nobody knows who we are, if we were doing what you were doing, we would be known. But that's not what we do.
Shit.
And then he went on to this shit. He started talking about some other stuff about, you know, the welfare mind state, people where you take people's tax dollars and give it to other people. And he, I think he talked about Planned Parenthood and some other shit like that. But the real truth is, that, again, Planned Parenthood, like anything else, is a social program. So if you have a problem with entitlement programs, which it sounds like you do, if you have a problem with entitlement programs, then you should have a problem with subsidies. You should have a problem with the bank bailouts. But you don't want to talk about that because that goes against your talking point. That goes against your bias. And I'll get to that a little later on, too. When I deal with that, when he talks about how smart he is,
mm-hmm.
I'll deal with that in a minute. But that's something that he loves to talk to. And see, when I put that shit in the article about the free market, I was just really doing that shit to show him how ridiculous his argument was.
Right.
That he couldn't even live up to his own damn gospel. He couldn't even live up to the dictates of, he's anything but a capitalist. He's just like the bitches he talks about. He wants something for free. And his argument is that if he's giving, if he has subscribers, subscribers mean that they should, you know, become his patrons. They should be one of his 300.
Right.
And as I pointed out in an article, just because you get a bunch of damn subscriptions, that doesn't mean that somebody wants to buy it.
Mm.
Business works off the law of numbers. It works off the law of numbers. And another thing, quiet as it's kept, those constituents that he has on there, those niggas are not going to pay for anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's complaining about the very people that make up his market. And he created his own fucking market. People don't spend money when they're angry. People tear shit up when they're angry.
Right.
They do anything but spend money when they're angry. So you riling people up with beefs and you riling people up by talking about black women and black female fuckery and how black women, why would somebody spend money on that? They can get that anywhere on the internet. For free. You don't like that word, but it's true.
Shit. And also check it out, man. So that, you know, we not idiots over here, man. You know, one way, you know, me and you could excel, of course, you know, we could talk about the pimping and, you know, the misogynistic aspect of life and whatnot. But, you know, me and you over here, we talking about the tricking, you know, and if you want to turn niggas off, if you want to get niggas to not fuck with your channel at all, start talking about some tricking, man. Niggas ain't trying to, for the most part, hear you talk about no goddamn tricking, man. You know what I mean? So we not idiots, man. You know, if we really want to take this to the next level, that we know we got to talk about topics that niggas want to fuck with, man. You know what I mean? Niggas don't really want to talk about or really fuck with the concept of tricks. You know what I mean? So that should let you know, man. You know, we not giving two fucks about what other niggas think and how we get down on our podcast, man. We see a need for something that needs to be basically expounded upon and talked about. That's what we're going to do. We're going to restore balance to the universe, man. So, bruh, like I said, there's a method to our madness. It takes 10 years for most of these motherfuckers to come around and see the light. And, you know, if that's what it take, that's what it take. But go ahead, man. I just wanted to reiterate that. We ain't stupid. We know, if we really want to get that money, we know the topics to stay away from and we know the topics to jump on. Go ahead.
Okay. Then he talks about, says that we're envious of him.
Right.
What do you have to be envious of? Really?
Mm.
Seriously, what do you have that I would be envious of? I assure you, you have nothing. And I mean nothing that I want.
Mm.
Nothing. Absolutely positively nothing.
Right.
From that whack ass echo box of them raggedy ass turntables you put up there on your screen. You have nothing that I want. And then he says, well, I'm a thought leader. I'm a thought leader. A thought leader. Mm-hmm. Really? With content that's 10 years old? Really? And he says, well, he's the only one. He's an influencer. Excuse me. He's a thought leader in the market and everyone else's influencers. We were dealing with more diverse topics again before you came to YouTube. We were talking about the riots. We were talking about the trick. We were talking about every issue under the sun before you made it here. We were talking about religion. We were talking about politics. We were talking about economics before you got your first goddamn YouTube account.
But wait a minute. But wait a minute. Wait. But of course, all that is negated because he feels that since he is more successful on a YouTube platform, what we've done means nothing. But once again, I like to reiterate, you're right. No one really knows who we are on YouTube, but many people know who we are on other podcast, prominent podcast platforms. Okay, I like to get that out the way because, like I said, he seems to think that YouTube is the end-all, be-all of all things. Go ahead.
Yeah, the only place that exists is YouTube.
Right.
You know, that's the only thing that's important to him.
Right.
You know. But anyway, then he turns around and he talks some more shit about the free market and voluntary association, which again negates your argument. Because if people, again, if people associate with you, if they agree to associate with you, that doesn't necessarily follow that they're going to do business with you.
Right.
That I know a lot of niggas that I like. Would I do business with them? Hell no.
Okay.
There are a lot of niggas I listen to. There are a lot of niggas who I converse with. Would I do business with them? Hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Them niggas shady as hell. Why would I do business with them? Because they talking the same shit he talking. Hey, dog, why don't you, you know, give these people some customer service? Or why don't you give them, you know, the correct amount of the product or the service that you're supposed to give them? Nah, you trying to cheat them. You know, because you think in your mind that you're entitled to, you know, force the market to behave as you wish. And that was another thing he jumped on. He was talking about how he was like Steve Jobs. No. Steve Jobs designed a better mousetrap.
Okay.
You didn't design anything. You came to a free medium that was already open for video sharing. That's what you did. You came to a free video sharing device that was open to the public. And if it's that deep, were you that thirsty for money? Why don't you just monetize the videos? Like we do at Max City.
I don't monetize our videos.
You got a pay-per-view, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, all right. I got you.
If it's that deep, make the shit pay-per-view. If you want to see how many people are going to subsidize you, but you don't want to do that either. You want to tell people how to subsidize you. And then you can't understand that when you in that market of angry little cuckolds that like listening to you blast black women and like listening to you blast black people, but they don't want to pay you. Now you all in your feelings because you can't get 300 subscribers. No, nigga, no.
Let me interject something, man. You know, when I got up on this joint, of course, I tried the Patreon route and that ended horribly. You know, so I got 4 patrons and shit. And it just goes to show, man, that I don't have... Hey, what's... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, well, I was about to say, don't put it on speakerphone. Sound like you was on speaker for a minute. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, I found out that Patreon is not necessarily the medium for me because, you know, niggas want extra shit. You know what I mean? If they gonna patronize you, niggas want extra shit. And I ain't about to be doing all that extra shit. You know what I mean? You know how it is with me and you, man. When we do a show, it's because we want to do it. You know what I mean? It's not like a situation where we have to meet a quota. You know what I mean? We have to crank out a certain... Yo, man, is that speaker on?
Nope.
And the fuck? I'm getting feedback from that shit. And so, I don't have any room to gripe about the whole shit, man, because, like I said, I'm not willing to actually crank out extra shows, and I see that's what the market is. You know, if you're going to get patronage, niggas want extra shit. So I said, fuck that. I'm not about to crank out no extra shit. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I'm not even going to plug the Patreon shit no more. But I'm not getting on here blasting niggas about it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Yeah.
Niggas want extra shit.
It is what it is.
Big Mike is not about to be cranking out extra shit. You know, because every show that I do, I want to do it because I want to do it, not because I want to meet a quota. You know what I mean? And with that being said, I can't get mad at these niggas because they don't want to patronize me because they expecting more extra shit. You know what I mean? I ain't got nothing else to say about it. I just move on to something else that's going to get me my money. You know what I mean?
Well, that was O'Shea's point.
Uh-huh.
If you're not willing to do that which will allow you to be patronized,
mm-hmm.
why should people patronize you?
Right.
And better yet, if you're not willing to do that which will allow you to reach the goal that you want, if you're not willing to do it, how you going to beef and say you can't get support when you ain't giving the people what they want?
Right.
How can you say people are not supporting you when you won't do the very thing that would allow people to support you?
Right.
Now, do niggas want shit for free? Of course they do.
Mm-hmm.
I have never heard from the fact that niggas have a problem supporting. I've always said that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that. Again, before you made it to YouTube.
Right.
But you kill your ability to complain because you don't even want to compete.
Mm.
How you gonna complain about niggas not patronizing and you're not even in a business, or you don't even put yourself in the market to be patronized? You don't even put yourself in a position to be patronized.
Mm-hmm.
But you complaining about niggas not patronizing you. How does that make sense? You would have a valid gripe. You would have a valid gripe if you were similarly situated. Even take Angry Man. Mm-hmm. Angry Man has diversified his channel.
Right.
He don't just have Angry Man. He has the Angry Geek.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's attempting to speak to the cosplayers.
Right.
You go after and you diversify. That's what you do. But you don't want to do that. You want to sit back and say you're a trailblazer. No, you're a biter. And you're a particularly bad one at that.
Oh, my God. Getting personal, son. Getting personal.
You bite. You bite. That's what you do. You're a biter.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm calling you. You're a biting ass nigga. Anyway, again, you're not Steve Jobs. You're not anywhere close to Steve Jobs. You could never be Steve Jobs, because in order for you to be Steve Jobs, that would mean we would never have to have existed. That means if you were a trailblazer, that means Max City never. And you come up, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it happen? Hell yeah, it happens. The law of physics and gravity do not become non-existent because you're not there to see it.
Mm.
If I get my dick sucked last night and you weren't there to see it, that didn't mean it didn't happen.
That's a good one right there. That's a good one.
As though he's some person to determine what happens in YouTube. Nigga, you got 4,000 subscribers. You got 4,300 raggedy ass subscribers. You ain't no leader. You ain't no industry leader. You got 4,300 subscribers. Now, to be sure, over 2 years, that's what, roughly about, what, 800, 900? 800, 900 every four or five months, something like that.
Okay.
But that doesn't make you any type of industry leader. You don't form opinion on anything but your damn podcast. That's it. You don't determine policy on anything. You don't determine who's important and who's relevant on YouTube.
Well, I will give him this,
but
though.
But see, when everybody...
I will give him this, though, his ratio as far as the listeners versus, you know, the subscribers, man. It's a pretty good ratio. It's about 50%, man. Give him props on that. That's,
yeah.
That's some good shit.
He has a good ratio. I'll give him that. But when that's pointed out...
Right.
See, when he was pointing at us, he's talking about subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another problem. This is a problem that I, in an argument, debate with him.
Okay.
It's just flat out hypocrisy.
Mm.
See, when he's talking to somebody that he knows he can't compete with, then it's about his ratios.
Okay.
But when he's talking about people who's not even trying to compete, now all of a sudden it's about who's listening.
Okay.
When it's already been determined, we don't follow that. But we're not trying to beef with people.
Right.
That's not our objective at all. That's not what we're doing.
Man.
You know? So, I couldn't understand that. I didn't get that. And then he went on, and I want to thank him. I want to thank you, by the way, for reading my article. Mm. I really want to thank you. I give you props for reading my, thank you for introducing me to other people.
Right.
Thank you. I have to give him props for that.
Tony, he's a nobody. You need all the help you can get, man. You a nobody.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. I'm nobody. Nobody cares. So thank you for introducing me. And then he went on to read my article, and he said that when I said that it's the people that want shit for free that spend the most money. And then he started, well, cite one no true Scotsman argument. And how he got no true Scotsman, I don't know how he got that or where that came from.
Okay.
And then he said, well, citations needed. Now, he doesn't cite sources, but he wants me to cite them. But since you want me to cite sources on everything, nigga, does the Bureau of Labor Statistics mean anything to your ass?
Okay.
You always quick to throw up government sources. You always throwing up government sources when you're talking about how fat black women are. You're always throwing up government sources when you're talking about the STD rate. You're always throwing up government sources when you're talking about the out of children wedlock rate. You best friends with the government then. But when it comes to basic information that you should know, all of a sudden you don't know about government sources. You don't know about the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You don't know about the fucking Wall Street Journal. You don't know about the Atlantic magazine, which is a moderate, not liberal magazine. You don't know about economic writers like Derek Thompson in the Atlantic magazine. That's not familiar to you? No, it's not familiar to you.
Okay.
Because you only want to use government statistics when you want to use. So I assumed you would know about those government statistics because I mistook you for an intellectual. Oops, I assure you I won't make that mistake again.
Mm.
I assure you, I will never mistake you for an intellectual again. Most intelligent people know these things. But I guess you don't fall into that crowd. And while we're talking about statistics, and while we're talking about data, and you and your insistence on data, see, most people, if they were to actually read the shit that you're quoting, they would know 9 times out of 10 your data is misstated, your evidence is mischaracterized, and your numbers are just flat out misleading, if not all our lies.
Do you have an example of that?
Of course I do.
Oh, okay.
Of course I do.
Just
when he talked about, for instance, again, when he was talking about, he said that black women are the largest women per se.
Okay.
He said they're the largest women. And he talked about, how they're the fattest women. For one, again, those statistics, that study that he's talking about, mm-hmm. that doesn't measure body weight.
Right. Okay.
It measures body mass. It's a difference.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, man. Yeah, because I was a victim of that in the military myself. They said I was fat, but I was ripped. I was muscular as hell. They said I was fat in the military.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That study, and they said that in the study, that they don't measure body weight, they measure body mass. It's body mass index, not body weight index.
Right, exactly.
But see, he didn't tell his listeners that, did he? No, he didn't say that at all.
Right, okay.
That study also didn't say anything about hip to waist ratio.
Okay.
Didn't say it at all. But he put that in his commentary because he knew that I had read that study. So what he did was he turned around and he had to pop lock. This motherfucker, he pop lock his way out of an argument like Rerun.
Okay.
He could pop lock his ass off out of a point that's been already refuted and destroyed.
Okay.
So when he knew that I had him, then that's when he started coming into all this shit about body mass. That study doesn't say anything. And the study also said that those statistics are not reflective across cultures. So in other words, what may be fat is purely subjective. What you may qualify as fat in your culture, the next person may not qualify as fat in their culture. And they use the very same example as the military. Mm-hmm. They use that example in the study. That people that qualify as being massive in the military are not overweight.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, they put me on the fat boy program, man. And I was ripped, man. I was muscular.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm fat? The fuck? Are you serious? Yeah, my BMI was all, fucked up according to them. Mm.
Well, according to him, you were fat.
Yeah.
So if black women, have a larger, because they measure what, neck and waist, right?
Yep.
Neck, waist, or they had this little black plastic thing that they put on your body to measure, your mass or whatever, according to those measurements, you would be termed overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is in your culture, if the people in your culture have a different bone density or a different physiological makeup, they could be termed obese under the BMI index.
Right.
But he want a fat ass on his couch so he can bust a splendiferous nut.
Mm-hmm.
But under the BMI index, she's fat. You don't do fat bitches, right?
Hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You're getting personal.
You do fat bitches.
You getting personal.
You do fat bitches.
You getting personal,
you do
sir.
Fat bitches.
Stop getting personal. No.
Okay. All right. Anyway, if you want another source, since you like sources, since you're a free market economist, you don't read the studies from the Federal Reserve, Mr. Free Market Economist?
Mm.
You don't read those studies? That tells you who spends what and who spends what and where? You didn't read that? No, you didn't. Because you don't read Federal Reserve studies. Just like you don't read the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You don't read anything except that which gives you more vocabulary words and confirmation bias. Look it up.
I'm sure he knows what that is. I'm sure.
No, I'm not going to give him. No, I'm not so sure that he does. I'm not going to give him credit for anything. Because every time I do so, I'm wrong.
Oh my God.
This is what intellectuals do. But he has shown himself not to be an intellectual, and he only reads that which reinforces his talking points. That's what he does.
Mm.
And for the rest of the videos, he mumbled into something talking about black people are they're the leading anti-Semitic group. He didn't give no statistics there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He just said that black people are anti-Semitic. And I don't know of too many black people that hate Jewish people.
Right.
I don't. Mm. And he didn't supply any. I love Jews. Matter of fact, I have had a very good relationship with Jewish people.
Right.
Hell, we used the Jew to sue the state of California.
Oh, man, yeah. Shout out to my Jew, my Jew lawyer. Shalom, Ahayim, all that good shit.
So, you know, this stuff about black. I mean, it was just a bunch of nothing. Black people are anti-Semitic, yah, 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 and all. I mean, again, he didn't cite anything. And then he said, well, are you listening? Yes, I'm listening. I want you to know I'm listening. Are you listening, Tony? Yes, I'm listening. You got my attention. I assure you, you have my attention. You know.
Lord have mercy.
So I mean, if you're so intent on people listening to you, and you want so bad for me to listen, now I'm listening. Mm. I'm listening to every word you say.
Let me add something right quick. You know, I'm listening to both sides. You know, when we're talking about black folks and patronizing business and whatnot, and this kind of like takes me back to the whole Yvette Carnell, Boyce Watkins beef. You know, it's like people would say that Boyce Watkins is correct when he says that economics should come first. Yvette Carnell saying politics should come first. You know, niggas is always on this either or shit. You know, and I'm like, well, I believe that politics and economics are both equally important. You know what I mean? I don't require myself to join a schism or join a camp. And so right now, what I'm seeing between you cats, right, it seems like we have another either-or situation. You know, I did see you concede certain points when Obsidian was saying certain things you agreed with him. And I think he did the same thing. He actually conceded some points when he was talking to O'Shea. But once again, we seem to have this situation where it's an either-or. You know, you have to basically be all in my camp, or the other person has to be totally in their camp. And I see valid arguments in both camps. You know what I mean? I don't really see either one as being false or being totally true. You know what I mean? So I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do we get to this point, man, where it seems like, you know, dudes got to pick a camp. You know what I mean? It's an either or argument. Both situations and both arguments can't be right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. Both there is room for both sides.
Right.
But his thing is, it's largely reduced to one side. His thing is, well, black people don't support each other. Okay, well, that's true. But first, in order for you to make that argument, you have to be someplace where black people can't support you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to actually be in the game. You have to be in the game to give an assessment. And you've admitted that you don't want to do the things necessary to be in the game. And if you don't want to be in the game, and he's quick to talk about how, you know, when he was writing, for instance, how when he was writing for a black-owned publication, this is him. He was writing for a black-owned publication, and it was a waste of his time.
Right.
He said that.
Right. He said he wasn't getting enough exposure and he wasn't getting enough money to do it.
He wasn't getting enough money. What does that mean? You know how long he wrote for the Negro Manosphere?
No.
90 days.
Oh, okay. I believe he said that it wasn't worth the aggravation. He said the money that he was getting wasn't worth the aggravation.
It wasn't worth. But what was the white boys paying?
Well, from what I'm hearing, they didn't pay him nothing.
They ain't pay him shit.
Okay.
So what can he compare that to? If they were paying him hundreds of thousands of dollars, which I'm sure he gonna come back and say,
mm-hmm.
they weren't paying him anything. The motherfuckers over there where he was wasn't paying him anything. But he was working for a black man getting paid.
Now all of a sudden ain't
the black man. Yeah, the black man paying. The black man paying. The white man wasn't. And then he says, well, I took all these white people, I brought all these white people over here to my channel. I brought all these white people over here to my channel. If you brought all these white people over there to your channel and things were so wonderful, if you did all of that, you brought all those white people over there, and life was just heavenly. Then why are you asking niggas for three? I mean, why are you asking niggas to pay $5? Why are you asking 300 niggas to pay you $5? If everything was so wonderful where you were.
Good question.
If you were making all this money over there at, what is it, Return of Kings, judgybitch.com, and Slang, if you were making all of that money over there, why did you come to the black man? Why would you come and get business from a people that you know don't support? What business model is that? What business model exists where you leave a working market to enter a failing? Who does that? In a capitalist economy where the objective is to make money.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. My thing was that if you're going to criticize the market, at least be in the market and compete in the market. But you don't want to compete in the market. You want it given to you. But ain't that what you say about black women?
Interesting.
That they're socialists?
Right.
Isn't that what you call the, well, no, he says when it's taken from other people, when it's involuntarily taken from other people and given to someone else. You want them to choose free association. If I'm associate with you, if you and I are going to associate, in any situation where people are associated, there is some type of a binding agent that causes those people to associate. Pimps associate with hoes,
right,
and other pimps. Why? Because they're doing the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Bankers associate with other bankers. Why? Because they're doing the same shit. Street thugs associate with other street thugs. Why? Because they're doing the same shit. But you want to come into a market, well, there are a bunch of other people doing podcasts on YouTube and say that you're a trailblazer. Now, you guys say his business model is cutting edge. He saw AdSense and all of this. And maybe he did come up with a prediction. I don't know. Maybe he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about as far as access to the people that are going to pay you. I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road. And where the rubber meets the road, he's not interested in giving people the service that they require so that he can get paid. He just wants people to come to him on his terms. Now, if you have the influence and the power to do that, like Steve Jobs did, if you are a market, a person that, you know, directs the market, if you control market share, or if you're an industry leader, you can get that off. Obsidian is no industry leader with 4,000 damn subscribers.
I never even knew who y'all was.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, damn.
How the hell are you an industry leader with 4,000 subscribers? How in the hell are you a thought leader with 4,000 subscribers?
Well, wait a minute. Let's back up now. We got to be honest about that because basically our numbers are worse than his. But we basically state that shit. We was trailblazing way before he was trailblazing. And so I would think
we were here before him.
Yeah, we were here before him. But yet and still, like I say, he's dismissing us because we don't have the numbers. And so now we're turning around and we're dismissing him because he's only got 4,000 subscribers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but here's the thing. He's dismissing us, you're right, based on the fact that we didn't have the numbers.
Right.
But we weren't really trying to get numbers.
Right.
But he won a ball rub.
Yeah, we got...
He won a ball rub.
We just got numbers on a different platform. That's what he don't understand.
On a different platform.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he won a ball rub. See, we have numbers, but our numbers is across two different platforms.
Right.
But he won a ball rub all over YouTube.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna go ahead and throw him a bone on this, man. I do believe that he's done some pretty innovative shit. You know what I mean? I gotta respect it. I gotta keep it 100. He does some pretty innovative shit, man. You know what I mean? So I ain't gonna take that away from him. But yet and still, you know what I mean? I do believe that as much of a trailblazer as he thinks he is, yeah, it's nothing new under the sun. It's been done before, and me and Tony been doing it for 10 years. Even though you don't see, even though he don't see the numbers on YouTube, we got the numbers.
That's my point.
Yeah.
My point is, if you're talking about trailblaze, mm-hmm. my definition of trailblaze is if the shit has never been done before.
Right.
You're doing something that has never been done before. Mm-hmm. Okay, you get in the market and you can spot certain trends. Okay, you're in the market, but that's not a trailblazer.
Mm-hmm.
A trailblazer has done something that has never been done before. That's not him.
Okay.
That's my point. That's not him.
Okay.
He's not doing anything that hasn't been done before. And he said our highest numbers, and I'll give him this. He said our highest numbers came when we had the, during the summer podcast, what we did with him, and that was our high, that was one of our highest rated shows.
Right.
He's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, we didn't capitalize on it. We weren't interested in capitalizing on it.
Shit.
We were just giving our perspective.
Yeah.
You were the one who came to our channel to argue with me for 2 hours in the goddamn comment section. You did that. You were the one that thought you were going to drag me onto your platform. You did that. So you were part of the ones that came to our channel wanted to be heard. And you and what happened after that, he didn't even want to do an interview until he heard Alan Roger Curry's interview. Then he wanted to do an interview.
Okay.
I told you he sent me a message at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I still have the message. He was up at 3:30 in the morning listening to that podcast.
Just to you be know, clear, hold on. Just to be clear, let cats know and understand, man, that when me and Tony do this shit, man, we don't eat off of this shit, man. We don't eat off of this podcast shit, man. So it's really not that important to us, like, so, you know, like with an Obsidian. It's pretty important to him because he eat off this shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We more so doing it for shits and giggles. You know, we do it for therapy. And if we had just so happened to get some dividends, some money out the shit, then so be it. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of laid-back attitude we got with it, man. You know, and like I told O'Shea on the phone, man, I'm like, heaven help these niggas if me and you actually really got serious. Because we just recently kind of, like, started really getting into it, man, like the past 8-9 months. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We just started saying, maybe we want to go ahead and look at this and, you know, see what we can do with it. You know what I mean? So I say, like, for the past maybe 8 months, we've been actually really fucking around with it on a more serious level, man. You know what I mean? But still not as serious as an Angry Man, not as serious as an Obsidian, not as serious as an O'Shea. We still got a whole lot of shit that we got to do, you know what I mean, to even be considered serious YouTubers, man. But we ain't trying to eat off the shit, you know, so we don't take it that serious.
There's a world outside of YouTube. I know it's hard for you to believe that. Mm. But there's a world outside of YouTube, and in that world is where we make our living.
Mm.
This to us was like recreation.
Right.
We weren't trying to become, and he said, well, because when the hit list, when, you know that thing, when all them black female YouTubers came after all the black male YouTubers, we weren't on the list. So because we weren't on the list to be, you know, have our channel removed or struck off YouTube, you know, that somehow means that we're not relevant.
We wasn't trashing black women. Shit.
No, we weren't. We weren't interested in going after females. We weren't interested in giving our females public information just so we could one up them. We weren't interested in using their content. That wasn't what we do. That's not what we did. That wasn't what we were about. So the fact that you brought that up, I'm confused as to why you would do that, because we weren't here to be crusaders against anybody. We were here so our voice could be heard. That's why we're here. But if you want to be here, and all you're going to do is you're going to get niggas arrested. That's what's going to happen. He going to talk all this shit. And one of them niggas, one of them angry little cuckolds on his podcast, going to go stab somebody or go do something to, you know, one of these female YouTubers and get arrested. You know, off of some shit he said on YouTube. And there's niggas out there that's just that stupid. Yes. Fucking with Obsidian, you're going to get arrested.
God damn.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Fucking with him, you gonna get arrested. I'm just keeping it 100. Fucking with him, you gonna get arrested. But anyway, he talked about opening the books, how he opens his books. And again, it's not, we've already said it's not that deep to us.
Right.
You know. And of course he said that no one had ever heard of us, you know, until last year, so forth and so on. And the funny thing is, it wasn't even him. If you're talking about people on the Black Manosphere on YouTube, it wasn't even him that even said anything about us. It was Alan and Roger Curry.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
So it was Alan Roger Curry that came to our channel and heard what we were saying, you know, and chipped in. And he was the one that gave us the juice to put us on. But again, we had already been here for years, you know.
Just not and really again, on YouTube.
Just not on YouTube. We had a presence on Liberated Syndicate because that's where most of the shit was uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then here was the thing. Here was the thing. Again, this is not my website. This is Mac's website.
Right.
This is Mac's website. He said he came to the website and he wanted to know who let the dogs out.
I'm going to go ahead and expound on that on another show, man. I got a whole lot of shit. You know, I'm going to have to enlighten Mr. Obsidian on, you know what I mean? But I'm going to keep that because I got to write down my talking points on it, man. But I'm going to enlighten the brother on some things.
I know a nigga with no receipts ain't talking about who let the dogs out. I know that's not you, dog.
No receipts.
I know. A Gene dancing machine reject like you.
Oh, my God.
Ain't talking about who let the dogs out. A motherfucker with no receipts. I know you ain't talking about nobody.
Mm.
And nobody ain't seen your woman.
Mm.
I know you don't have the nerve to do that. Oh, I take that back. Somebody has seen your woman.
It's getting personal, son. It's getting personal.
I know somebody has seen your woman. And from what I understand, if that comment is correct, then whoever you fucking with, they belong on Mac City.
Ooh. Oh. Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, my God.
I know. You ain't talking about that.
Oh, my God, man.
I know you ain't trying to flex and ball. You? Trying to ball you?
Oh, my God. Hey, wait. I got to do this, man. Insert dog face here.
Here.
I couldn't help that one. I couldn't help it. Insert dog face here.
Here.
It's getting personal, son. It's getting personal.
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, my God, man. But hey, man, you know, all's fair in love and war, man. And I'm going to expound on a later date because, like I said, he doesn't really understand the dynamics in this, man. He don't understand the world of pimps and hoes. He don't understand it. But I'm going to give him a tutorial, man. I'm going to help him out.
No, he ain't interested in the world of pimps because he's the moral police now.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
He's become the moral police now.
He says
he's talking about infidelity.
It's irreparable.
And how that's ruining Black America. So he ain't trying to listen to you. You beneath him.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Even though he gave you that hollow ass platitude, I like Big Mike, and Big Mike is cool. But I'm talking about you. Well, I'm talking about your ass.
Oh. shit, man.
So you can spare him a tutorial about the game and about pimps and hoes. Mm. And you know why you can spare him?
Why?
You know why? Because he's an undercover trick.
He ain't no undercover trick, man. He don't let it be known.
He is an undercover trick.
He done basically said, you know, that the tricking is viable. He ain't necessarily hid from that. He done basically let it be known. Like, yeah, that is an option.
No, well, he hates the fact that he has the trick.
Oh, hell.
He hates the fact that he has the trick, but you have the trick, and that's what it is. So he ain't interested in nothing you have to say. Mm. Because you're part of the problem.
Oh, yeah, that is, I am part of the problem. Because he did say he can't stand motherfuckers. He did say he can't stand motherfuckers that, you know, fuck other people's girlfriends and wives. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely guilty of that. I'm guilty of that shit, son. I'm guilty, son.
So, you are a sociopath and a sycophant.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah, he don't like people like you. What could you possibly have to tell him?
Shit.
You're the ruin of Black America.
Man, I fucks with motherfucking Obsidian, man. That's my nigga, man. I fucks with him. I fucks with him a long way. I don't give a fuck what none of y'all saying about Obsidian, man. I fucks with my nigga Obsidian, man. He a little misguided on some things. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I don't throw away the Ferrari or the Porsche because it's got some dings and scratches on it. I fucks with him 90% of the time, you know. 90% of the time, I fucks with him. The other 10%, I don't pay that no mind, man. Shit. What the hell wrong with y'all, man? All y'all need a group hug, man. What the fuck wrong with y'all? Everybody get in a huddle and just hug. Get a hug fest going on.
You can't hug a nigga that's a compulsive disruptor.
Oh.
You can't hug a nigga that lives to start trouble.
Oh, man.
You can't hug a nigga like that. At least I can't.
Well, you know, that's a brilliant business model there. You know, he understands what would generate revenue. And so, shit, you do what you do.
But that's the whole point. It ain't generated revenue. That's what he meant it about.
Okay.
It's not generating revenue. That's the whole point of the discussion. It's not generating revenue. Okay. The whole point was that he said on his podcast, he said point blank, he's upset that it's 2 years later and he hasn't had 300 subscribers.
Hmm. Shit. In all fairness to him, he's smoking compared to my 4 subscribers that I had at my peak. I got 2 Patreons now. 2 of them, nigga. Shit. Even
have
though I ain't
really
plugging
tried it, to put anything in Patreon?
You say what?
Let's be honest. Do you really fuck around on YouTube and Patreon like that?
Man, I ain't got shit in my Patreon. Nothing.
So, in other words, you giving him credit for smoking a nigga that ain't even trying to compete.
Hey, well, you know, man, shit, get credit where it's due. You know, he making some money at his Patreon, man. He doing what he doing. Evidently, it's not what he want to do. You know, he feels
that's the whole, but that's the whole gist. The point is not that he isn't making money. Mm-hmm. The point is he isn't making the money that he want to make.
Okay.
He isn't making what he says since he started this beef, he's jumped up 10 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
A beef and you only get 10 subscribers?
Mm-hmm.
One debate and you get 10 subscribers, you can't be very good at beef either. Because usually when rappers start beefs, they go platinum.
Okay.
At least gold. You start a debate and you talk all this shit and you get 10 subscribers out of all this shit. You come on an hour and you got 10 subscribers for an hour worth of talking shit.
Right.
Really? So, yes, he has made some money. But his according to his podcast, this is from his mouth. he's feeling some kind of way that he didn't get 300 subscribers because of niggas that are tuning in and not paying him. That's his beef.
Okay.
And he took that and stretched it and said, well, black people don't support. And he was right about that. Now, I'll throw him a bone on that.
Okay.
Yes, he is right. He is. In general, yes. But then again, if you don't put yourself in the market or you don't come to the marketplace with the means to compete to get their money, I'm arguing you don't have a bone in the fight. How you gonna argue without an argument? You're not in the market to compete. If you standing on the sideline and giving an assessment, that's fine, but you're on the sideline giving an assessment. You can't comment as some type of industry leader or participant.
Check this out, man. That's what I want you to do. I want you to kind of, wrap it on up because, shit, man, you going on. You know, damn near 90 minutes, man. So we got to go ahead and wrap this on up. Don't want to keep this going too long, man. So if you have any points that you haven't expounded upon, man, go ahead and get that out the way, man.
Okay. First point.
Okay.
I never have, never was, and never will be. Never have, never will.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, thank you again for mentioning my article. Thank you on your platform of 4,300 subscribers. I want to thank you. And he said that we were getting paid off of him. Have we made a dime off this nigga?
He said that about us?
Yeah, he said that we were getting paid off of his... Oh, I guess he's talking about me.
Okay.
We were getting paid off of his name. I ain't received one dime from you, nigga, but I tell you who I did get money from, and I disclosed it in the article. O'Shea Duke Jackson paid me, and it didn't have a damn thing to do with you. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. So, Max City has not now, nor have we ever, made a dime off you because you're not anybody to make any money off of. You are a run down grimy ass gimp little nigga with 4,300 subscribers. You're not anybody that could make, you're not somebody that could make me any money, and telling somebody where to go to make, that's not the same as supporting. So let me get that out of the way. You did make a legitimate point. You did make a legitimate point. But your point was negated due to the fact that you weren't even willing to come out to the playing field. And finally, you're not a trailblazer. I'm sorry, you're not. I hate to disabuse you of that notion, but you're not a trendsetter. And your topics, not really that diverse either. Not really. Not according to the Max City catalog. You can't compete. So my last parting words. One, on a neutral ground, I would be more than happy to bury your ass.
Jesus, man. What the fuck?
On neutral ground, not where you have control of the mic and can mute people. That we, no, you ain't gonna, you're not gonna pull that shit on me. But on mutual ground, you name the place, I'll be there. I'll be sure I'm there.
Shit.
And number three, number four, and finally, and I'm out of here. You'll never have to look for me. I'm always right here, and I know you listening. Now I know you're listening and you're reading. Checkmate, bitch.
Oh, my God. Group hug, everybody. Group hug. Let's get around. Let's show some love. All right, y'all. Once again, in the spirit of friendly debate, I don't know if that was what you call that friendly, but goddamn, man, let me go ahead and just say this, man. Shit. I do love YouTube, man. I do love the personalities, and I do love the information. And, man, you know, I ain't got no problems with none of these motherfuckers on here, man. You know, that, like I said, I fucks with cats on the points that I agree with. And the points I don't disagree with, I don't pay that shit no attention, man. You know what I mean? In this situation, when we're talking about black folks patronizing black business, I see both parties. I see both camps with valid points, man. And I don't really see anybody is right or wrong in it, man. Anyway, fuck it. I ain't even going to try and expound on it. Get the fuck up off of here. Shit, man. I just want to go ahead. Well, go ahead, man. Matter of fact, Fuchsius, you didn't even go ahead and get your contact information, man. You know, where cats can actually find you at, man. That's really important, man. Hit us up.
I'm at powerandstrategy.com. I write for the Negro Manosphere every Tuesday. And I have, again, my online chess store, shipping and handling products included. I have a Patreon site, Power of Strategies. That's my Patreon if you choose to subscribe. I have a YouTube channel, Power and Strategies, and a Facebook page at Power and Strategy. Like, share, and subscribe to the article and the videos. If you have any questions, please reach out and ask me. Please reach out and ask me. Reach out if you got questions, concerns, whatever. Hit me up at wayofstrategy44@gmail.com or hit me up through the website at Power and Strategy. And that's where you can find it.
Okay, like I said, we are just now really, man, getting to the point where we're taking this shit a little bit serious, you know, being here on YouTube. And the numbers are growing. I know if you was an original Mac City player, Mac City citizen, you're seeing the numbers steadily creep up, man. So, like I told O'Shea, like, heaven help these niggas, man. If we really want to get on the ball and get serious about this shit, niggas will not be able to so-called thumb their noses at us and call us nobodies in the game pretty soon as far as YouTube is concerned. You know what I mean? Whatever the fuck me and Tony set our mind to, you know what I mean, to make shit pop, you best believe it's gonna happen, man. You know what I mean? So, it won't be long, and we won't be doing it by just having needless beefs and just steadily plugging away, talking shit about black women 24/7. We're going to keep doing our diversified content, man, talking about everything under the sun. You feel me? Yeah, we're going to do it the right way, man. So, this is the Fat Mac, Almighty Triple XL, Big Mike, and Full of Phys Ed, giving shouts out, man, positive energy to all the people in the universe. And we out. And we out. And we out.